Welcome to Standing in the Sunlight with Cynthia Rose. We are all on an ever-unfolding unique journey. Join Cynthia Rose as she begins her unique perspective to all that is meaningful. Topics and personalities that support your path, bringing inspiration and passion and heart-centered ways to live a more fulfilling life. A down-to-earth and uplifting sharing of what it means to be spiritual, creative, and living life to the fullest by standing in the sunlight. Born an intuitive medium, Cynthia Rose is also an ordained minister, singer, astrologer, educator, and writer. She has studied the intuitive and healing arts for over 40 years. Rise up and stand in your sunlight now with Cynthia Rose.
Well, hello. I had a little bit of trouble connecting there, but I'm here. Excited to be with you. Hi, I'm Cynthia Rose McCaw, host of Standing in the Sunlight. I'm coming to you back home from Denver again. If you want to connect with me, please connect on Facebook at Cynthia Rose Medium, Cynthia Rose Medium on YouTube, and I'm here. So I want to get going on the show. Want to hear from you. Brennan will be in Cynthia Rose Medium group shortly in about 10 minutes if you have any questions or anything comes up for you. And I'm very excited today because we are going to be talking to Joseph Scheel. He's a highly acclaimed evidential medium and spirit artist, psychic. He's an award-winning teacher. He's known internationally, and he's devoted his life to service of spirit and those seeking the love and healing and growth. And he shares his gifts all over the world, healing, teaching, speaking. I have seen his work, and it is just fabulous. It's to watch him demonstrate the continuation of life. And the beautiful pictures, a good friend of mine got one, and she was thrilled. It was wonderful to watch. He's also a minister, ordained minister, an instructor with the Journey Within Church in New Jersey, registered medium in Lilydale, New York, the world's oldest and largest community for the practice of spiritualism. He's certified medium with Forever Family Foundation. He's also a fine artist, sculptor, recording artist, and a published poet. He is so creative. I'm so excited to have him on the show today. And he's also, I want to mention, a guest tutor at the Arthur Findlay College. So you can read more about him at josephscheel.com and connect with him on Facebook. And we'll make sure that we post that information again. And hopefully he's there. Are you there, Joe?
Yes, I'm right here. Nice to see you. Nice with you, Cynthia.
Yeah,
thank you for having me.
Oh, I'm excited to have you. Now, do you have the headphones on, or do you have the radio show going?
I don't have the radio show going. I have you on speakerphone. Do you want me to take you off of that, or?
Yeah, headphones would be better, just because we're getting a reverb.
How's that? Is that better?
That's much, much better. We got a little bit of it. Yeah, headphones work best if you have any. But we can always look on the break if you can't get them now.
Okay, thank you.
So I'm excited to have you on the show. Your drawings of spirit are amazing. I mean, so much of what you do is amazing. And I thought we might start and talk about the integrity of mediumship, because I know that's something important to me, and I know it's something important to you.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's definitely very important to me, and something I try to pass on to students and to people that are interested in this work at all, we are to move forward with this work and have it be more accepted, more mainstream, and more understood, that unless we stick to the truth and stick to the integrity of the work we do, the science we put behind it, and things like that, that we're going to lose our way, and we're going to be in a place of silliness, and that those things that are maybe more entertaining but not not real. And that can really kind of taint the work we do. It can kind of confuse people, the types of things we're doing. So we really, the best way to practice this work or to go after this work as far as your own talents, if you're a medium out there, is to really just say what is right for me, what is real for me, and test the water, really make sure that it sits well within your own heart and your own truths. And I believe that the more we do that, the more people will trust what we do. They'll seek to improve upon it and to really see the reverence in it. So that's my take at it anyway, for briefly.
Yeah, I think that's an important point, what you say, the reverence in it, because I think that it's not about making us look good, it's about delivering the message as honestly as we can.
Absolutely. We're just part of it. We are, you know, we're the one in between. We're in between those two worlds. We're the messenger, if you will. We are the conduit with the instrument that is used by the unseen world to help those here be communicated with, and to have that be seen, if you will. So what we say, how we hold ourselves 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, is important as mediums. It's a lifestyle of really making a commitment and a conviction towards what we want to do. Otherwise, it becomes just a weekend game or something that's not taken seriously. And you know, it doesn't mean that there isn't joy and there isn't laughter and there isn't things, just like real life, you know, as above, so below. So there's lots of wonderment in the lives that have gone before us that kind of paved the way and show us the way. And I believe they have a good insight. You know, they kind of been there, done that. They can show us lots of ways to live better lives, to move forward in our lives, to really cherish this life we have. I think a lot of people make the mistake of thinking that mediumship, spiritual, all this stuff is all about the dead. It's always about death, you know. And I can't refute that more than to say that it is absolutely the opposite. It's more about living and the continuation of life and the continuity of life, and how that can help us to live better lives and with better understanding of each other, with better love for one another, and living with the insight into what's good for the world and where we're going. So I think the work that we do as mediums, you and I and others that do this work, they have an obligation, first off, to have that integrity in what they're doing. But they also have this huge opportunity to bring it forward, to continue to test what is best and how we can improve upon communication and improve upon the work we have, and subject ourselves to the science of it so that we have better understanding. And in this way, we serve the clients in such a rich way that people that are hurting, people that come to us or come to a demonstration who have lost their children, who have lost their loved one, who are in the midst of concern and quandary, who aren't getting the answers in everyday religions, and they're not finding it peaceful, and they stay in the grief. They're finding a way with what we have to say, what we're doing, to see that it's not over, it's not the end. That's not true love. Love is to continue that love between us and those beyond and those who are gone, and to continue cherishing not only their life, but to even further look at our own and look at it hard, look at it in a way that maybe there's things we need to change so that we don't waste the precious time we have here, the short, 90, 100 years or whatever, that we might get to walk this planet. So I believe that mediums hold a very, very special place in the world, and if they continue to work with integrity in the way, they can begin to enlighten a lot of people to particularly care about the light of the soul, and not a light of, not a light upon us as Mr. Famous or Mr. Look at me. It's more of look at the gifts that we're given every day.
And I completely agree, and I think. You said two of my favorite sayings, as above, so below, is a favorite saying of mine. But also, I've also said that I feel like I can't do this work without it being a lifestyle. It is not, it's a very sacred job. And yes, you have to, you find the joy in what you're doing, but it's very sacred, and it hasn't, interesting effect on the medium themselves. Like for me personally, I want to enjoy every day, every moment, live deeper in the moment, because I'm very aware that although I won't end, I'll continue, that I'm here for a short time here. And right. And how do I, for sometimes it seems to me that it's also, when we talk about the integrity, if you have a loved one coming through, when you're talking about the science of it, if I have a loved one coming through, this is just my little plug on scientific way, and they want to show me that they're golfing in the spirit world, I kind of have a curiosity, did you do that here? Why am I seeing that? And it seems important to add that into me, and why are you showing me that now? What's important about that? And I know recently I had that, and it was because there was a loved one with them who was a golfer.
Right.
So there's...
And it's something that you know as well, so they can... When we talk about mediumship, we're really talking about a blending of the minds, the discarnate mind and the carnate mind, and how they come together. How they confront, they use us, they use everything we've known, every experience we've ever had, every nuance that we've encountered, every tragedy that we've lived through, and every joy that we've really come upon, and the challenges of our own life and our own well-being, our own personalities, difficulties in relationships to finding a way to do things better. All of that is at their disposal. Once they blend, they're able to help us to see the message in what we already know. So it's a clear knowing. And we talk about clears and mediumship, having all these extra, all these senses and the extra senses of proprioception or introspection, beyond touch, feel, smell, taste, hearing, and seeing. They're talking about, they're actually immersed. And we immerse ourselves, we leave ourselves open to, and I think a lot of people fear that. They fear that the danger is that we're being possessed in some way, that we're being taken over. That, to me, is I understand those fears. I understand where they come from. I understand. And I often say to people, please don't go Hollywood on. just chill, okay? And I have never had any of the so-called evil, so-called darkness. So-called, it's always about the love and about finding a better way to understand that they're right here, and very, very conscious of our well-being and wanting for us to see things better. Now, they might want us to change something that we're doing. We might not be doing everything in a manner that would be considered honoring our own holiness or our own well-being, our own soul. So there might be some suggestions that way, but in the midst of it all, there is a wonderment and just a phenomenal peace to their touch upon us as mediums. And to me, I have an old saying that I used to put on my cards years ago. It was drawn back to life in the service of saving souls. So, a little tagline, and everybody thinks I'm doing it for great marketing purposes, and I suppose it was my half-baked attempt at marketing in a way, but I really meant it. And what it meant was, it was, so that's cute, you draw them back, you draw their pictures, and then I said, yeah, but the point about it was that I wasn't talking about the pictures, I was talking about in doing this work, giving of myself, to taking this chance to put myself out there and you know, sometimes take the heat for it from people that don't understand it. I'm the one that's finding my way back. I'm drawing back to life itself. I'm healing because of service, because I'm serving others. And I think that a lot of my students are finding that too, that they come in here because they're interested, they're curious, they want to hang out a shingle, they want to do this work, they want to have fun. And they find that it's not so easy to just do that, because one has to dig deeply within oneself and begin to heal the wounds of their past and their misconceptions about what's best for life and for others. And they begin to heal their own being and become happier and much more content with their lives and where they're going. And there's the gift that comes for us as well as for the client. And then the client knows that you've been there, you've done that, you've lost people. You're not just here to play a game or to spin a story or, you know, or to hurt anybody. You're only here to help and help heal and to be there and to share experiences.
I think it's important. If we don't do that work, then we are doing a disservice. We have to do our own work. I see we're being queued up for a little break, so we'll be back in 2 minutes. We have Joseph Scheel, spirit artist, medium, and he'll talk more about his spirit art when we come back. Go grab a glass of water.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Hi, I'm Danica Patrick. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing, but not every child gets to be carefree. 1 in 6 kids in the U.S. are hungry. This breaks my heart, and it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and gives it to families in need. To help, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Okay, all right. Okay, we're back, and we are going to speak to the back of the room so you can hear us a little better.
Okay.
And I know, Joe, you have a very nurturing, soft tone. So what I was coming to when we were talking about that, when you talk about bringing through, and I wanted to get to talking about your spirit art, but maybe you could tell the listeners, how did you come to be a spirit artist and mediumship? Do you want to share a little bit about that?
My first spirit drawings were done when I was around 5 years old, and I didn't know what I was doing. I just saw the people, so I drew them. The interesting thing about that was that I was normally like every other kid, you know, with the crayons outside the lines and you know, the coloring book all a mess, and that, you know, probably some crayon on the wall as well. But what happened was I began to draw pictures, and the dexterity of the drawing was almost as good as I am now. I was drawing real faces and real people, and my mother got upset about that, well, at least concerned, let's put it that way, and so she called the priest and the nun, and all of a sudden the house was filled with the priest and nuns, you know, kind of interested in what the heck I was doing. I didn't know it or call it spirit art at that time. I just thought it was great that everybody was over and we're having a party. Many years later, after that, and after those pictures were taken by the church and that type of thing, I was in the seminary again, and at that time I was drawing pictures in the library. I'm quite dyslexic, and I start to fall asleep when I start reading too much, so I put the books aside for a minute, and I was just doodling, thinking about the philosophy of what I was just reading in the library, and I started drawing pictures, and I drew a picture of a man with a baseball cap, and the man behind me at the table behind me came over and said, "Hey, that's my uncle." And I said, "I'm just doodling." And he got all kind of loud, and he said, "No, no." He goes, "That's my uncle. Why are you drawing my uncle? He died." And I said, "Well, first, we're in a library, you know."
And how old were you at the time? Joe, at the time?
This is in my early 30s.
Okay.
So
a long time ago.
Yeah, quite a long time ago for me. So this is the second time I was attempting, I would call to become a deacon in the Catholic Church. So I was in the diaconate program, and discerning my way and discerning what might happen with my life and where I was going. And I had no intentions and no understanding of mediumship or a psychic work. That to me, if somebody, you know, they told me to go see a psychic, I would say, "You're out of your mind. Why would I do that?" You know, I really kind of thought of that as something really off beam, you know. But at the time, the man started saying, "That's my uncle." And sure enough, I said, "Well, look, you can have it. I think Tom was a nice guy." And he said, "How did you know his name?" And it freaked me out. And then I started drawing a bunch of pictures, and people were recognizing them, and I really didn't understand what was going on. So I asked some people around. I asked some of my friends that were deacons, priests, a rabbi friend of mine, and I said, "What should I do? What's going on with me? I mean, you know, am I going crazy? Am I being attacked? What's going on?" And so a lot of them were very loving and caring. I had maybe one or two that were, you know, getting all, you know, uptight about it, but most of them were very loving and thought it to be a very beautiful thing. So they made some suggestions, and I went out to Lilydale, despite the fact that I was very nervous about that, and I met some people out there, and I started to ask about this way of doing things. I then, you know, met some other people through the process of learning and going to circles and kind of meditating and really trying to ask questions about this, praying on it a lot. And then I learned about Coral Poles, who was a spirit artist in England, and I started to be compared with her a little bit. And God bless her, I don't know for me to be thrown in the same boat with her, but she definitely was a very talented, extraordinary woman. And so I began to work on it more and more. And as I started to do readings, I started to do the drawings along with the reading. So I would draw the person or one of the people that I was seeing in my reading. And I always believed in trying to, I thought it would be better for me to make the effort, even though it was tough and it didn't always work. It started to work more and more and more. And I thought it would be a great effort towards the integrity of the work and towards evidence. Because if I can not only talk about the person and give the reading itself, but then draw one of the people that we're talking about and they're recognized, then there's some real evidence that there's a communication and a connection. And so it became something that I've just really I feel blessed. I don't feel I can take much credit other than, you know, putting some lines together that look like the right face. But I really feel that that they helped me in a lot of ways to do that. And so over time, I've analyzed it, put it together, began teaching a lot of people. I remember I met Rita Berkowitz, who I admire greatly as a friend. We've friends, I was talking to her about her work, and she does spirit drawings and guides and teachers and all this other stuff. And I really wasn't into the whole, I'm going to draw a guide or an angel or something. I wanted to draw the person I was talking to. That to me was where I needed to prove I could do that somehow. I could make that happen. And but I was seeing tons of people. I started drawing a lot of people at the same time, and I've drawn as many as 22 family members in one sitting.
Wow, 22 family members? Wow.
And so people would identify them as I go through the reading and that type of thing. So I see them like that. I see them almost like I'm walking into a house party or, a wedding, and that's how they come. They're seen in my head. So I was talking to Rita one day, and I said to her, I said, I see so many, I don't know who to draw. She goes, just ask them to sit still. And I went, oh, yeah, that's right. I can talk to them. That's right. Like, geez, what are you thinking, Joe? So we just laughed so hard about that because it was just like so obvious that we're talking to them. I'm sit down, And so now that's basically what I do is I'll see a bunch of people and say, which one do you want me to draw? And then I'll say, okay, can you sit still, please? And I do my best to draw that person. Now again, it would be tough to draw the person in the living across the. Across my desk, to draw somebody up that's not really seen, that happens in a lot of varied ways. One, I might see them in my mind, very rarely, but does happen sometimes where I see them in the room. It's almost like a silhouette or a holographic image, if you will. I think sometimes that's my projection of my own mind. I hear them, so sometimes they describe themselves to me. I'll feel that I'm almost like them, so I draw like a self-portrait. I'll just be impressed to draw a face, and I'll just draw it. I've never seen them. I didn't hear them. I didn't smell anything or taste anything. I just started drawing the picture. Sometimes those which are, I feel, impressed upon me by them, sometimes those are the most extraordinary likenesses, and I believe that that's really them almost manipulating what I'm doing or helping me through it, much like automatic writing would be, and that people refer to that as being.
But you're doing automatic drawing, so you're trancing with them.
You're definitely in a mild trance state, maybe a little deeper than some. In the multiple drawings where I draw a number of people, I'm in a very deep state of altered state. We're not sure. We're still working on it to find what kind of a state it is. My heart rate doesn't quiet down like most trance states. It doubles. So it's like I'm running a race. So I've been tested that way, and I'm hyper, almost like a hyperactivity. And so we're still working on that. And I do work with different colleges to try to figure out, and neurologists to figure out what's going on with the mind and my entire body, so that we have some understanding. It may be helpful to other people who are maybe having trouble in their minds and seeing things, and that may be advantageous to people who have not identified this yet in their own life. So that's why I do that.
Well, that's good to hear that there is science going on and that they're studying, because you don't generally hear that all the time, that's going on.
There's some phenomenal science going on as far as this goes. And one of the things that's been going on for a while that I've worked with is that all this new facial recognition ability digitally. So there is a possibility that one day all mediums could sit there with a computer program, and as they describe the as they describe the person they're talking about on the other side, the computer actually draws the picture.
Well, that would be good for me because I can't draw a lick.
So people ask me, why am I helping those scientists to put myself out of business? It's okay.
Well, I mean, like, that would be good for me, I'll tell you, because I used to be a school teacher, and there would always be a few kids that would say, oh, I can't draw. And I would say, well, here's my stick, people. And they'd say, oh, well, I can do better than that. And then they'd walk away feeling empowered to draw.
I think if you have any understanding of how to put a line on a page, that given the right circumstances and the right intention and the right type of, you know, meditation and working with this, that I've seen people that have told me, I'm just a stick figure drawer. I can't draw a lick, you know. And they've taken classes with me, and sure enough, they've drawn a beautiful, you know, once they learned a couple of basics, they're able to draw the person and a likeness and have the essence of that person that passed on. And really, that's what we're looking for in the drawing. We're looking for the essence, almost for this picture to speak to us, you know, to say, it's me, I'm really here, you know. And I might get the mustache wrong, or I might get the type of glasses they wore wrong. But if you look into the eyes, and being the window of the soul, if you will, if you look at the picture, you just know that's them, you know. And the family members usually just fall out because they see exactly it's them.
I've seen you draw, I think it was my friend, maybe Peggy, that you drew her father, and I can't remember who it was actually now, because I've seen you do a few, but you had drawn, you said, well, and I know they're a little older than this, but this is what they wanted to me to present, and there's a picture of this, and you know, yeah. Peggy brought in the picture the next day, and it was exactly the same.
Yeah.
So it was fantastic, and I find that kind of interesting. That sometimes that's a tricky one. Okay, you're telling me you're older than the way I'm seeing you, but you don't want to present older.
Well, I've had some people, like women in spirit, tell me that I really was terrible at hairdressing. I got the hair all wrong, and it's like, it's really funny. I always have an eraser with me just in case, you know. You know, people have been kind enough to send pictures back to me and to verify the pictures I've drawn, and even the multiple drawings, I've got pictures of the items, the places, the things around them, car that was in the accident, the carousel down that was next to the house, those types of things, and the homes that they lived in, those types of things. So there's a lot of remote viewing involved as well, and I just believe that they're really trying to help us and to get to us and to speak to us about our lives and about where we're going. And the mediums that are taking this seriously, the mediums that are really working towards this, I believe the spirit world really wants to work with them. You know, we certainly want them to communicate with us. We certainly want to help. We certainly, you know, there's mediums with integrity and with a true, heartfelt wanting to serve others and serve peace and things. And those mediums are being led. They're being taught. They're being shown the way. And I believe the more they work at that, the better they'll get. And I'm excited about the future. You know, I'm an old guy, I guess. Well, I'm not old, but you know, there are younger people coming up that I'm excited about. I'm excited about their talents. I'm excited about their excitement towards this. Their commitment that they're coming to discern and find their own work. And I think the future is good as long as we stay the course and we don't get to, you know, don't get into crazy stuff. You know, stay the course of really speaking the spirit and learning from them what's best for all of us.
Yeah, I couldn't agree enough. You know, I just came back from the United Astrologers Conference, and somebody was talking about about ghosts and trapped spirits, and I just couldn't stand it any longer. I put my hand up. I said, wait a minute, this is not true. It's Hollywood, makes money. And I see where I'm being cued that we're going to a break, and we'll be back for the last section with a very interesting discussion with Joe Scheel. Hold on, we'll be right back.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Tune in to the Practical Intuitive, Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World with me, host Robin Fritz, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern. I'll cover personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice, and more, all to help you tap your own intuitive and healing skills. No ifs, ands, or buts.
The average time a resume spends on an HR manager's desk is 7 seconds, and most of them are tossed aside. Now imagine if one of those resumes belonged to Yasmin, who was
living in a shelter, juggling 3 jobs. I had to be resilient. That's something that you can't teach.
We rely so much on a resume, yet it could never tell the full story of someone who
had to be independent and take initiative. And that's how I handle every project I get.
Discover new ways to develop great talent at gradsoflife.org. Brought to you by Grads of Life and the Ad Council.
Okay, we're back. I just wanted to mention that if you are in Ireland, in Dublin, Joe, you're going to be there demonstrating with Mavis Patilla, correct?
Yes, we'll be. June 22nd, we'll be in Dublin and demonstration there and then a class over the weekend together. So I'm blessed to be with Mavis, that's for sure. She's great. She's just fantastic. Wonderful, her and Jean, wonderful to be around. So. And it's back in the old sod, so I can't fault that. But we fault.
Lovely. And then are you back? I know you're doing a demonstration with John Holland and a workshop there.
I'll be back the following weekend. I get back on the 25th, and then on the 29th, and the 30th, I'll be in demonstration with John Holland in New Hampshire, and we'll be drawing evidence from the unseen world, which is a class for beginners as well as seasoned mediums to incorporate drawing into and that kind of art into their mediumship and help them expand their mediumship. So it should be fun. Be a lot of good hard work, but good fun too. So.
Terrific. And I wanted to also mention that you're going to be at Lilydale as well.
Lilydale, I'm registered at Lilydale, so I'm contracted to be here for the 2 months of the summer. I'll be teaching 3 classes this summer and doing private readings. July 9th and 12th is Spirit Artistry Intensive, and that's for mediums. You should have a little bit of experience behind you to take that class. You should, have not necessarily artistic experience as much as mediumship experience. July 15th, becoming a better medium every time you work. And that's for different levels from intermediate all the way up to, more seasoned professional mediums that take that course. And what I talk about there is how to see the way we work, how to assess our work and kind of move forward and add some really other ways of moving through and working with spirit and gathering information and becoming more evidential. More accurate in your work, more confident in your work. July 19th and 20th is beginners psychic mediumship development, which is for anyone who's brand new to this and they're wondering, Jesus, is this something I could do? Is this something I want to do? Those 2 days are, there are a lot of good information, a lot of the basics and foundations of what we do, and getting a good handle on choosing the kind of medium you want to be, choosing whether this is for you at all. I think it's a really good place to begin and get a good understanding for all of this work, even if you're curious or you've been reading books about it and want to know more. This is the place to ask the questions and really kind of try it out. And it's a good workshop. It's a really fun workshop. And from there,
Go ahead.
The year is just packed full, so I have my mentorship program in the fall, coming up in the fall, which will begin in October, and then demonstration with Paul Jacobs at Journey to the End. And I've never done with Paul before, and I'm looking forward to that greatly. We've never met, so it's going to be an interesting time. Oh, we have met. I'm sorry, I met him at another demonstration, but he's certainly one of the more serious teachers around, and I like his approach to things, and I'm looking forward to being with him and seeing what we create together. And also, I'll be in the Spirit University in November. Down in Florida, and I got the Forever Family Foundation is doing a mediums weekend down in Fort Myers on November 9th and 11th, and go to Forever Family Foundation, look that up. But that's all about developing your mediumship and understanding what mediumship is about for the greater public. And Forever Family Foundation is a wonderful organization, non-for-profit. We do all this for nothing, but it's to really help find mediums and test mediums. It's probably the most difficult testing there is for mediumship ability. It's mostly scientific, how they go about it. But it's also about finding mediums that will help people and really be there for them and not hurt them in their time of stress and pain and grief. And so I think it's just a wonderful organization. I'm really proud to be part of it, and very happy to help with it anytime. So, and then I'll be back with Mavis again in November at the Journey Within later on in the years, and on. So, I'm blessed and lucky to be able to be with some of these people. I really am, and I'm just so grateful for it. And met you at Journey Within as well, and did a great job, and got to be on your program here today, and I'm blessed for that too. It's just wonderful, and I thank you so much for asking.
Yeah, well, I really trust. I feel like it's important to listen, and I feel a calling or a pulling. I hear a little whisper in my ear sometimes, and right. It's like this one, and so far it hasn't steered me wrong. So. I think you're just fantastic. Fantastic. I've had lots of times of not listening too, I'll have to say, where I had to learn to trust and listen. And we were in Chicago, and so why don't we just let Spirit lead us where to go, what to do. And my friend Kim and I were, we weren't sure we were going to go for dinner, what we're going to do. We were demonstrating in Chicago, and we had an extra day and a half or something, and in between. And she said, I do need to go to the bank, and we're right in front of my bank. So I said, okay, well, I'm going to go over into this store. But I really didn't know why I was going in the store. And it turned out to be the best place for us to grab a bite to eat, because I have food allergies and she has her particular, it couldn't have been better. I mean, it was just perfect. So everything. And I've always trusted that, but when I was younger, I wouldn't have known it to be spirit is telling me, although I have to say my grandfather was really good at whispering in my ear, and I was really good at arguing with him too.
Right.
So I didn't always listen. So
yeah, right.
I've had to learn that one.
Yep.
So
sometimes you know, I have to make those mistakes and fall down several times before I start to listen. So it's okay. It's just human nature, I guess.
Yeah. Well, it would be great if we can ever convince you to come to Denver to do a workshop. We sure would love to have someone like you teaching.
I actually had a phone call yesterday, and somebody wants to bring me out to Denver, so I am planning on doing that.
So oh, well, fantastic.
Year, 2019, we'll arrange that somehow, and I'd love to get out there for sure.
Yeah, that would be great, because I don't think we've had people teaching spirit art out this way, so that would be fantastic.
It's kind of rare still, so that's for sure.
You know, something I just thought of, which kind of interesting, I don't know if you have anything to say about it, but, you know, my father passed many years ago, and when I talked to him, I knew he was going to pass. He said to me, I said, are you going to come through? And he said, no. And we argued about it. And I said, Dad, come on. He said, no, why would I want to come back here? And so we had a bit of an argument. And I said, well, at least let me know when you passed, because I'm going to be the one that's going to have to deal with everything. So he did do that. But then I didn't hear from him. And, you know, I would dream of him. And every time the people would say to me, oh, he was here, but he's gone to the next place. And he was here and he's gone. And I was like, what the heck? So I don't know what he's doing. So then he did come through, and he's come through three times. And every time he's come through, the first thing he mentions is one of the details from the last reading. So very interesting. He mentioned the place I was in when he'd come through the second time. And then he mentioned something specific he said in this last one. It's fascinating, and I don't know why he took so much time to come through, but I actually think that he didn't want to affect me, and like he wanted me to grow on my own, and he was such a big figure in my life.
Right. And there may have been a lot of reasons why, and there may be his own reasons why, but the fact that I do believe they're only a thought away. And sometimes we're just not ready. Sometimes we're just not ready to hear what they have to say to us, or that we're not ready to believe. You know, we're just still too sad and too hurt by it all. And I've had that happen to me too. It's not uncommon. But, you know, given time and given some quiet and given some healing time, we will see them in our dreams, or we'll begin to have communication with them, or a medium will bring them through for us, and that's incredible. And it always is amazing to me. I mean, in that demonstration with Tony Stockwell, Tony brought through someone who passed last year, very close to me, and he was touching upon these information. He couldn't believe that, you know, the other person demonstrating would be taking it, and we don't always like to do that, because it kind of, you know, we're not the audience, if you will, but spirit's going to come when spirit's going to come, and just some of the indications and the signs that he brought through were incredible, and it wasn't a whole lot, but it was enough for me to know, geez, that just can't be anybody else, that has to be it, and, you know, I haven't heard from her yet since then. But, you know, I have hope. I have hope, and with the work that we do, we know that it's possible. We know that when the right elements come together, the right weather, the right moment, the right place, the right people, the right energy, if you will, then all is well. And they will have a much easier time of making the phone call. I mean, we've had a little bit of trouble with my phone on this radio show, you know, me having to speak up and things like that because I picked the wrong phone. So sometimes it's just those vibrations or making the phone call isn't always as clear as we would like. But over time, we'll find a way. And I believe if we keep working at mediumship and keep developing it and keep on coming to understand more about it and more about how to clearly get the message, if you will, clearly see the evidence, clearly draw the evidence, I think that we're going to be, there's going to be some phenomenal things in the future. I think we have a really amazing future ahead of us, and especially the younger people. So, I'm glad you got to see your dad, and I'm glad you got to see this. You know, my mother died when I was very young, and I've never had a medium bring her through, really. You know, and so had one young man out in Long Island bring pieces, but you know, I'm still waiting for a clear scope, if you will. But that doesn't keep me from trying. Doesn't keep me from looking for. But here's the interesting part about that. I am the spirit artist. I draw portraits. You know, I'm a musician. Things like this. My mother was a portrait artist and a concert pianist. So, did I get her talents, or is she helping me? And I got a feeling that maybe
she's helping you. She helps you, and she's so close that sometimes it's just like they're so close. I know in teaching auric fields and energy work with people, those that we know the best can come right into our auric field, and we may not notice because they're just like, we feel that connection. And my father has done the same thing. I was writing a song called Sweet Butterfly. And as I was writing that song, the lyrics to the song, I didn't write the music, Miles Black did. But as I was writing it, I thought, I think I had tried to write it 3 times. It wasn't working. It's a strange song form. It's not usual. And I finally said, I know I'm writing with the spirit world. I put my pen to the paper, and in like 2 minutes, the whole song came out.
That's the inspiration of poetry. I mean, the inspiration from the other side. That's us being blended with and those wonderful, insightful, just beautiful beauty itself just pouring through. And the creative mind, the creative person, anyone with a creative mind, I believe, can do this work. Because that if we work in the creative mind, we work in the right brain. That doesn't mean the left brain goes to sleep. It just means it takes a back seat. But in that creative place, when you write a song and it just pours out of you like that, listen to anyone, any great musician, a great songwriter, that's exactly how it happens. You know, they get it just like that. So
And that's how the music comes for Miles, too. I know we only have like 3 minutes left, and would you like to share one of your poems? You've got The Edge of Wilderness, a beautiful book of poems. Would you like to share something?
Sure. I'll share a poem that I've shared with a lot of people, but I wrote this poem for a mom who had lost her son, and right after the reading, like you, writing your music, I wrote this poem for her. And
45 seconds left. Okay.
The empty room. You may be gone, but not forgotten. You may be somewhere else, but I know you're still around. Your room has gone quiet, yet I still hear you. Your chair may be empty all day long, but I still feel you and know you're not gone. Some try to console me. They tell me that they're sorry, yet I can't hear them through the tears I cry. So sad and so lonely and so full of worry, even though I know it's true. I know you did not die. There is no death. There are no dead. We do not die after this life we've led. There is a more peaceful place, a heaven above. There is no death. There is no love. Every day and every moment I think of you and the memories we had. And I have those times when I don't know what to do because my heart hurts so bad. The littlest sound, a gentle breeze, a special song, a baby sneeze. No matter how long my life will be, you live and you live well in my heart, you see. I don't have all the answers. I don't know the hows or whys. And even through all the pain and tears, I know you did not die. There is no death. There are no dead. We do not die after this life we've led. There is a more peaceful place, a heaven above. There is no death, but there is no love.
Beautiful. I think we're time's up, but go to josephshield.com, and thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you very much.
And hope to see you.